Welcome to episode 105 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barseski. Alan Olson joins me again.
Yo, hello.
One of these days I'll come up with something different, but you can start off the podcast by talking about something different. What have you got?
Well, in something that is basically kind of funny, what's going on with the PGA Tour, they are considering coming up with appearance guidelines for the players. Apparently, there's nothing else going on. They don't have to worry about sponsorships or some of their sponsors going under or anything like that. We're going to come up with, we're going to worry a little bit more about the player's hair, facial hair, what they wear, what they don't wear, and things like that, which it seems a little bizarre at this time.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is that the PGA Tour is inspired by Titleist's recent How Do You Mark Your Titleist campaign, and they're kind of launching a How Do You Dress Your Player?
Kind of. I mean, I suppose it could go on to a whole thing, you know, maybe on the PGA Tour's website they could actually have, you know, dress your favorite player where you could, you know, click
we can
and point.
Vote. Yeah. We can drag little outfits onto Phil Mickelson.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
You know what I wouldn't drag onto Phil Mickelson? An all-black outfit with a white belt.
Ooh, good point. Good call. You know, this is kind of weird.
So the PGA Tour is trying to regulate people's facial hair, Charlie Hoffman's hair, some beards people have had, and some of the clothes we've seen. Ryan Moore's hats, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know if in their little goodie bag they get at every tournament now, they're going to get like a razor and some clippers and some collared shirts or what the deal is. You know, I kind of see the PGA Tour, you know, for very many years, it was very straight-laced. It was, you know, however you want to say it. And now they've tried to kind of beef it up a little bit by going to kind of focus a little bit more on some of the quirkier personalities, you know, Boo Weekly and Charlie Huffman and stuff like that, and trying to draw in some more people to think that, you know, golf is, you know, more than what it was in the past. And some people think that that has gone a little bit too far, and they're playing to too much of to that type of crowd, to more of the FBR Open type thing, where you have kind of the football stadium mentality surrounding a par three, and that they've kind of gone a little bit maybe too far, and this is kind of a reaction into that.
Yeah, I think we're probably in agreement in suggesting that the common response to this will be get real. You know, are you with me on that? I mean, people, the biggest problem the PGA Tour has is that there aren't enough personalities. I don't care about, you know, I don't care for Ryan Moore's way of dressing. I don't typically care for beards, but then again, I don't really care against either of those things either. It's not my style, but I like that Ryan Moore or whoever has a beard or a mustache or whatever. Charlie Hoffman's kind of made famous by his hair. You know, unless someone's dressed like a slob, you know, their shirt tails are out or something, you know, what's the point? This just runs contrary to everything. Let's just turn them all into robots. Let's have only Tiger Woods be the only guy that shows any emotion at all on the course.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I can see, like, you made the good point about, you know, the shirts and the outfits, but as far as facial hair,
let's,
I mean,
let's make the leader wear a yellow jersey, you know, let's just turn it into the Tour de France then.
But to sit there and say, okay, the guy didn't maybe shave for a day or two, and we're just, you know, are they going to have a tour official saying, your whiskers are just a little bit too long, we're going to fine you? Is this going to be like a fine, like they fine for slow play? We all know how well that works.
Yeah, can we fine people for having flood pants? That'd be good.
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to fine people, and I think this is in one of the articles, so this is not my original idea, but, you know, fine Sergio Garcia for wearing the canary yellow outfit in the British Open a few years ago. I mean, it's just bizarre. I think this is really the wrong time to come up with something like this, being what the economy is and sponsors.
Yeah, they got nothing better to do.
And I think the other thing, too, I think they have bigger things to worry about. You know, most people really don't care about golf right now. Tiger's not playing, although he's, you know, working his way back. And, you know, if you've watched the first few, you know, events on the Golf Channel, quite frankly, they sucked. There wasn't enough golf, and the announcing, you know, it's just not that great. You know, thank goodness we have CBS now on the weekends, but, you know, they really need to try to promote other people other than Tiger, but I just don't think that this is the way to do it.
Right. Well, we'll move on, because that was the people wishing for a longer podcast got their wish right there.
Yeah, here's your rant.
Yeah, there you go. We told you we'd leave room for something. Stupid PGA Tour. Bad. Bad. Nick Watney.
Good.
Probably one of also the people who will least likely be affected by any kind of appearance ruling. Breaks through, kind of staves off John Rawlins at the end, who kind of fell apart the last few holes. Failed to birdie the par 5 18th, he made a bogey on the 16th when Nick Watney was busy making a birdie with a long putt from the fringe. It was John Rahm's tournament to lose, and he did, as much as Nick Watney won it. 68-74 in the final round.
Yeah, I mean, this is more of Rollins collapsing there. Definitely that final round. It was fun to watch. Camilo played pretty well. I actually thought he probably should have won it, but...
Well, his putting wasn't there.
No, he didn't have a very good weekend.
No, his ball striking left him put a lot of emphasis on his putting, and his putting wasn't there. So, and Nick Watney, now a two-time PGA Tour winner, tying John Rollins. And an interesting note that I just saw, Titleist has won all five. Titleist balls have been used to win all five tournaments this year. So,
They must be pretty good.
Since we don't have the new ads for them this year, consider that your ad, and we'll move on. Tiger Woods practicing full bore.
Yeah, apparently so. He's, we had heard over the winter that it was putting, and then it was a short game, and, you know, all of a sudden, boom, now he's full bore. He's working with Hank Haney, and, Tiger Woods even said he was just kind of waiting for when his son was born, and I would suspect that we could hopefully see Tiger back within the next month or so.
Yeah, they're saying probably Doral. Again, it's right near where he lives, or Arnold Palmer, one of those two events. Arnold Palmer, of course, being the Bay Hill Invitational, being right where he lives, still in Orlando. What's up with his house? He bought a house, you know, over near where I used to live, you know, in the coast of Florida, and, you know, and then it burned down, you remember? And now, I don't know, he's still living in Orlando.
I don't know, maybe he's waiting for the real estate market to turn so he can flip it.
Yeah. He burns it down, then flips it. There we go. Well, he didn't burn it down.
Flip this house.
He didn't burn it down, quote unquote.
Not even going to go there.
Yeah. So he's practicing full bore. He'll be back sometime. Tiger ready is not the same as everybody else ready. Tiger will not come out until he thinks he can win. So important to note that. And, you know, practicing full bore doesn't mean he's going to be playing in a week or so. Get that thought out of your heads. Not that it was there to begin with. We'll move right on to beating balls. Just one quick thing here. Golf Digest did a survey. Some of the things are funny. Who's the best joke teller? Who cares? Who's the best athlete? It's not Phil. Who's the best caddy? Interesting to note that Steve Williams was second, and the first place one was mine. So Steve Williams beats out Jim McKay.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Right. But the biggest one, who is the slowest player on tour?
Let's see. This one won't take too much thinking.
Right. Well, Tiger Woods made the list. Ben Crane and
yep.
Glenn Day and some others are on there. And then any Swede.
That I don't get. Are there a lot of Swedes on the tour?
It doesn't matter. The ones that are there are slow. The other ones to make the list were J.B. Holmes with his infinite fidgeting.
Yeah, that's a little annoying.
And practice swinging and all that. Tiger Woods, you know, of course, I think he uses slow play to kind of unnerve people. Plus, Tiger is usually in the last group, the last day. You know, he's usually one of the guys playing for the win. But that's not to say he couldn't speed things up, too.
No, he's pretty...
Everybody on tour could speed things up. I don't think you could find a single player out there who couldn't speed things up, except maybe Camilo Villegas, because half the time the broadcasters would cut to him mid-swing. So...
Yeah, that's true. We got to see a lot of, he just swung. That's great. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any surprise, Ben Crane. And some of the other questions I thought were kind of funny, the most overhyped player on tour, and how about one golf announcer you could live without. No shock there, but...
All of them.
Yes. We don't want any announcers, we just want golf shots.
Tell us the guy's name and remind us what this thing is for, and then shut up. Anna Rawson apologizes for calling... LPGA players of 20 to 25 years ago, dykes.
Yeah.
I'll just say, we'll keep this short. I'll just say, I agree with what she said. She said, you know, 20, 25 years ago, who wanted to watch a bunch of unattractive dykes basically playing on the LPGA tour? That I don't have a problem with. The word is a little, if she had said lesbians, if she had said not included that at all, it would have been, you know, better still. You know, she said what she thinks. She chose a word that is a little stronger than others that mean the same thing. So I can fault her for that. Maybe in Australia, it doesn't quite have the same connotation. She's from Australia. I don't know. Certainly, she probably knows it's strong here.
Yeah, I don't know. Is this really a story?
Just interesting that, once again, people wig out over weird words.
Yeah, there we go.
Or should I say they spaz out.
Ooh, that's going to get you some feedback. Yeah,
that being one of the last times I could think of a word being whatever. She has a point, though, you know? the LPGA Tour is poised to do a lot. You know, Michelle Wee has her tour card. She plays this week. Paula Creamer, Natalie Gulbis, Lorena Ochoa, not terribly attractive, but a good player. Christy Kirk. You know, there's a lot of good players that are attractive now, too, and don't have the weird stigma that they had 25 years ago when a lot of lesbian golfers. So,
yeah, I mean, she does bring up some very good points. You know, you can take the comment, you know, however you want. But, she talks about making a reference to how women make seven times less, you know, how much less than the men on the tour and how much less they make on the sponsorship front. And
part of that's Carolyn Bevins' thing. Part of it's, you know, a lot of it's Ty Votaw's, actually, because he's been around and had much more influence. But, you know, women and sport, I don't know. People just don't see it quite the same way. I don't think the LPGA Tour will ever see even half as much money as the men's tour.
No, definitely not.
You know, you can get to a certain point, Anna, but, you know, you're not going to be all the way up there with the guys, likely ever. Final story. Tiger Woods has another kid, and apparently he's going to be a pro wrestler or something, or a heavy metal guitarist.
I was thinking lead singer of a band.
Yeah, there you go. Charlie Axel Woods. Axel, like, it's actually spelled like Axel Foley, right?
Axel Rose.
Well, isn't Axel Rose just AXL?
Yeah.
This is like Axel Foley or something.
That could be.
I don't know. It's AXEL. And the first name is Charlie, CHARLIE, not Charles or Charlton or whatever. It's a boy, in case we haven't said that. Given that his first name's kid is Sam and it's a girl, I guess we should clarify. But Charlie, born February 8th, Sunday. Yep, February 8th. That's out of the way. Now he can play golf.
Exactly. Come back on tour. The tour needs you.
He's got to like win money for the kids' college fund and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's worried about.
Right. I mean,
he's got to play enough events to make sure that his, you know, PGA 401k, you know,
right,
vests correctly.
Yeah. I mean, come on. If this kid is, he goes to college in 18 years, I mean, college is going to cost, you know, $80,000 a year by then. I mean,
oh, easily. That's just for a state school.
Yeah. He's got to win some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get one. That's episode 105 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Again, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Links to all the stories we've talked about will be on our show notes, posted every Wednesday. Send your comments, send your feedback. There's a forum thread going about the length of the podcast I alluded to earlier. Feel free to contribute to that. Right now, this one's 15 minutes, so it'll probably be about 12 when I'm done with it. Brown Olsen, this is Eric Brzezinski saying
shave.
Bye-bye.